Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Wham Theatre and Berkshire Theatre Group are presenting the regional premiere of Heidi Schreck's What the Constitution Means to Me at the Berkshire Theatre Group's Unicorn Theatre in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, May 18th through June 3rd. What the Constitution Means to Me became a sensation off-Broadway before transferring to Broadway, where it received two Tony Award nominations and was a finalist for the 2019 Pulitzer Prize for Drama. In high school, Heidi Schreck was a constitutional debate competition superstar, earning enough prize money to pay her college tuition. In this hilarious, hopeful, and human play, Heidi remembers her teenage self and maps the relationship between four generations of women in her family and the founding document that shaped their lives. Directed by Wham co-founding artistic director Kristen Vangenhoven, What the Constitution Means to Me stars two-time Tony Award nominee Kate Baldwin. I visited Kristen and Kate at the Unicorn Theater between rehearsals last week and began by asking Kristen how she decided to stage this production now.
The rights finally became available.
That's a good reason.
Yeah, and I believe the morning the rights became available, our associate artistic director at Wham, Talia Kingston, emailed me at like 9:05 and said, I just got the email that the rights are available. And by 9:30, we had put them in. And we put in the memo that we wanted to do it as a co-production with a larger budget Berkshire Theatre Company. And a couple weeks later, we got a call saying that, you know, who was this company? So Kate McGuire had reached out. We'd co-produced with Berkshire Theatre Group in 2016, the Bakelite masterpiece here at the Unicorn Theatre. And Kate had also reached out to Wham about 6 months prior to that call, which was last fall, to ask us, you know, we had put out that we needed an office space. We were looking for some like partner collaborations. And she had generously reached out and was like, how can BTG help? So when we knew that we had a chance at getting these rights, Kate was our first call. And she immediately said yes. And then thanks to Kate, we found our other Kate, right? When Kate Baldwin and her family heard that this was being included in the Berkshire Theatre Group summer, they were like, can I come in and try for that too? You know, and thankfully, although we are the regional premiere of this here, like we were just talking the other day in rehearsal about how this play is being done. It's one of the most produced plays in the regional theaters. And we're really happy to be part of that movement of how this play is sending this message in the year prior to a presidential election. It's really great timing.
There are a lot of issues that come to the fore throughout the course of the play. What are the aspects of it that made you want to produce it here? What are some of the most important topics covered to you?
Honestly, Wham is a, you know, arts and activism company. We work at the intersection of arts and activism, and we focus on the issues that affect folks who identify as women and girls. So the story of a white middle-aged woman who is grappling with her family history of intimate violence and is trying to find some healing for that, for her ancestors, and so that she can move forward into the future, and a story that is showing us that our future is led by diverse and diverse folks that that are really in tune with the main issues of our time, like climate change and gender equity and race equity and systemic oppression. That was one of the huge reasons that, of course, Wham wanted to do it, was to forward that very important story of the so many women out there and people out there who are victims of intimate violence and who are trying to find their way through, and how that is connected to the founding of our country, honestly, and the fact that, you know, there are 4,500 words in the Constitution, and as they say in the play, women is not mentioned once. And so how the systems of our country were structured and the foundation of this country was built, it erased a lot of folks other than cisgender white males. And so now we're at a time where we're having a real our next chapter of reckoning as a democracy. And this play, we were just saying the other day, feels prescient all the time, but particularly now, as after the pandemic, after the murder of George Floyd, we're in this next chapter of racial reckoning and of civic engagement. And people are trying to figure out how can my voice be of service? And for Wham, this is one way that our voice can be of service. And I believe the same is true for Berkshire Theatre Group and how integrated they are in the community and the advocacy that they put forward in tons of their plays, the ways that they support many different organizations that are out there tackling the issues of the day. This partnership was a perfect fit.
Kate, how have you begun to approach playing Heidi, embodying the moments, dealing with all of the feelings that the story she tells brings up?
Oh, wow.
You're going to tell them.
Yes. It is something that I'm going to tell. And I tell it in the first person because that's the way the brilliant Heidi Schreck has written it. She introduces herself at the very beginning. The first line is, "Hi, I'm Heidi." And it's a direct address to the audience. There is the absence of the fourth wall. So there are aspects of working on this play that feel like I could tip into, wait, is this a TED Talk? Or is this a therapy session? What is the vibe I'm trying to create here? It is a theater piece, right? And so I'm playing a character in a theater piece. So I approach it the same way I would any character I've ever played before. I look at the script. I connect the clues in the script to things in my own life, to give it some level of truth behind it, how I can relate to a person like Heidi. We are of the same generation. She's from Washington, but I'm from Wisconsin. We share that. We also share a frustration with the status quo. And we also share mothers. We were both raised by feminist mothers. And we both have been in the New York ecosystem for a while. She and I have actually met. We went in for the same commercial auditions often. So I share, and when I saw the play at New York Theater Workshop early on in its run, took one of my best friends, was thunderstruck by it, took my mother to see it on Broadway, and my mother alternately cheered and sobbed because it speaks about the 1960s, which is when my mom came of age and marched for the Equal Rights Amendment, you know, in 1975, right after I had been born, not in Wisconsin at that point, in Illinois. So there were a lot of connections that I felt strongly about making with Heidi and her particular story. This is her story. But it has stopped me from inviting my 12-year-old son to come see the play because I don't want him to hear mommy talk in the first person about some of the things that we're going to talk about. So there is a level of relatability, and sometimes the line between, you know, Heidi's story and my connection with what has happened to her and what has happened to me in the past, and the frustration that we share, and the hope we share, and the what appeals to me about particularly the second half of the play is the idea that we could rewrite the Constitution, the idea that it should be a living document, as she says, and I think Kristen touched on the pandemic and how we all had a reckoning and a hearing the call for social justice. And it just makes me think, let's think about a whole new world. Why can't we envision a whole new world for ourselves? And so this play feels like a great window into that possibility. And that's why I'm excited to do it.
The framing of the play, the way that Heidi has written it and performed it, is she's telling you about debate competitions she used to do when she was a teenager. We didn't have debate at my high school, and I'm realizing as I continue to learn about the world that it's a huge thing in a lot of schools for a lot of teenagers. What's your relationship to that? And can you explain for listeners who mayn't be familiar with the show yet kind of how that weaves in and out of the piece?
Yeah. Oh, debate in high school is totally a thing. Kristen organized a fabulous field trip for us a couple weeks ago to go to Deerfield Academy, which is a local school, and witness the semifinals of senior high school debate championships or semi-championships. I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway, students came from all over the state to debate, and we got to witness them. We got to watch, and I got to see three different high school debates, and they are unbelievable. They are fabulous. They are well-educated, obviously, well-informed, and understand and what I really got was how they understand how to debate, no matter what the subject matter was. The rules and the structures and what makes an effective debate was really eye-opening for me. I, in high school, was a theater kid, obviously. I did not do debate. When I got to college, I did something called Analysis and Performance of Literature. Northwestern University has a strong, stand-up and orate tradition. So it was called performance studies. And so you would take a piece of fiction and you would stand at a podium and you would deliver it. And I always thought that that was really, really cool. But I didn't see how that would apply to a career or what that would be. I now know that it would be about adapting literature for the stage, or there are many, many ways, in, or becoming a playwright or what have you. And some of my friends who did that are now in politics, you know. So that is a thread of an experience that I have. It wasn't quite debate, because I think when I was in high school, I didn't quite have the self-confidence that one would need to perform a debate in that kind of way. Those kids were just incredible.
Well, the confidence she has, I mean, she's performing it as an adult, but you can tell from how she's telling you how she was as a kid that she was, yeah, just incredibly confident. Seems like something everybody should do to be able to get over that fear of public speaking. Kristen, you lit up when I mentioned the debate aspect, too. Is there something you wanted to add to this?
That was one of the things I think that you, Kate, was the most nervous about, was like, can I do this debate? And going to see the students at Deerfield Academy and seeing our future in those rooms and having so much faith. And we feel the same about our debaters in this play, Zuri Adams and Izzy Brown, like knowing that they are our future does give us a lot of faith, because these young people, not to put even more pressure on the next generation, but to them, you know, gender, race, class, like there's just an inherent equity that many of them are growing up with, the ones that we're observing anyway, that does provide me a lot of hope, given how much work we know that our generation and the older generation still has to do around waking up to the systems of oppression that exist. So I was a speech and debate coach when I taught overseas for a few years before I moved to the States. And this wonderful woman that I coached with actually had a session with me prior to rehearsals to provide me with some rehearsal techniques that I could do. And we had a day where our alternates and our leading actors did some debate work and had to figure out how to argue and do a clash and speak extemporaneously. And we did it as an acting exercise to see like what happens to their body, what happens to their breath when they have to think of those things, so that they could put that into it. And it was also just astonishing to see these young actors. One is 15, you know, they're young, and they just held their own with Kate Baldwin. And we all were just so inspired. And it was a real live version of what Heidi experiences during the play, where she gains so much hope from observing the youth and observing how they are walking into the future. And we're having the exact same thing happen in our rehearsals with our extraordinary young folks that are with us.
You guys have done a lot of extracurriculars already to get ready for this. It's an amazing amount of preparation. It's fantastic.
Field trips, but we haven't even done a Dirty Dancing movie night yet. And that has been dangled, and I'm still waiting for my invite.
It's an important film to remember as you watch this. Sure, absolutely. What did the debate practice provide you?
Oh, it provided me great respect for Izzy and for Zuri, because they both, in their ways, adhered to the rules of the debate, and they were using the structures of it. And I was going, oh, yeah, whoops, I forgot that part, you know, and they succeeded with it so brilliantly. It also pointed up to me how easily swayed I am. Oh. How I'd agree with one person, be like, yeah, they're right. And then another person would speak, I go, wait a minute, I can see that side of it too, which is the great American way, isn't it? Like, there are rational things to be imparted on both sides of most debates, and especially within our room here. We were debating, you know, life and death topics, but we were doing it as though, you know, we wanted to win. So that is one of the things that I learned about how to stay within the rules, but really try and win.
There is a male presenting actor in the play. How did you find the actor you have for that role, and why do you think that part of it is important to include? Why do you think Heidi chose, if you can speculate on her thoughts, or just what it feels important to you?
Well, she says in the play that when she knew how much violence she was going to be sharing and feeling called to share, that she felt it was really important to have a positive male ally on stage with her, because she does love men, and as do we, and we, you know, we're all exist in society together. And it felt really important to her as she is discussing the consequences of how our country was founded. And one of those is the sexual and domestic violence that is often perpetrated by male-presenting people. She really wanted to have for herself, to give her courage to share this story, but also to show us, like, there's another way. It doesn't, you know, you can be a sensitive, vulnerable, aware person, whatever your gender is, and violence should not be the answer. And actually, we hear in the play, and it was very important to me that we choose a monologue that shows this character's journey through toxic masculinity and how men are unfortunately conditioned to see violence as the answer, and how much better and healthier it would be for them and for society if they had fathers like the character in the play who come and hug them and tell them it's okay to cry and say it's okay to express their emotions. And we have such wonderful examples of that in our society right now, in Dan Harris and Dwayne Wade, and a lot of like prominent males are coming forward, and the Me Too movement set a wonderful foundation for things that men were not even aware of like, oh, you know, the whole boys will be boys. But it does seem to be shifting, and it felt like an integral part of Heidi's journey of ancestral healing to have that presence and to hear that perspective and to understand how intertwined it all is. And we found the actor, it's somebody we've worked with at WHAM before named Jay Sefton. He's done some readings with us, and he's a absolutely lovely human being. And we had many wonderful males audition for the role. One of the ways he makes his money is he's a mental health counselor. And what he brings to the role as the ability to be an authentic listener with his job of being present and being authentic and helping people through challenging moments of their lives, it always felt really important to me. It's such a vulnerable role, you know, for an actress who's courageous enough to take on this role and be Heidi, they need to know that they have a very supportive presence with them on stage. And I think we already know that Jay is definitely that. So he's a beautiful human being, and we're thrilled that he's part of our family.
And he's really funny too.
That doesn't hurt. Kristen just mentioned that the performer who takes this on needs to be courageous, which I completely agree with, but we're not expecting you to be like, yes, look at me. I'm so, so brave. But I did want to ask you, are you feeling unbrave at any point? Are you scared?
Yeah, I'm totally scared. Are you kidding me? But, you know, bravery is being scared and doing it anyway, right? That's what it is. And the thing that I was scared of, it's interesting, the thing that I was scared of at the beginning of rehearsal, which was the debate, and I'm not scared of that anymore. I feel like we've exercised that muscle, and I feel like I'm stronger there, and that's all due to Kristen and Zuri for going through it with us, and Kim and Izzy for preparing all together. The thing that I'm now treating, I'm not going to be scared of it, I'm going to treat it as a chemistry experiment, is when there is an audience, when there is a person sitting 5 feet from me or 6 feet from me, and their eyeballs meet my eyeballs, will I be able to hold on to what I'm fighting for, what the circumstances of the play are, and not get into, like, what are they thinking now? Because people are going to have reactions to this play. When I witnessed it, my mother sat next to me and sobbed when we saw the play together. So I have to be prepared for someone having that kind of response. I also have to be prepared for a person not going along with us in this story, you know? There might be a lot of pushback or reaction. And I have to be in a fluid state where I can take that in and breathe with it and not let it throw me off the horse, and recognize that I'm a human being telling a story. They're human beings listening to the story. So in that regard, it becomes very simple, very primal, and very equal, in that we have an equal footing here, because I need them just as much as I need these lines in my head to come out of my mouth. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. I do. Before we wrap up, Kristen, I wanted to ask you about WHAM always gives a portion of the proceeds to a foundation, and you've chosen the Elizabeth Freeman Center. And I want to talk about your sliding price ticket thing. That's great to make it more more equal, more opportunity for people to come to the theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, WHAM has been providing an equitable sliding scale ticketing for 4 of our last events, and we're incredibly grateful that Berkshire Theater Group chose to do this as well for this play. So there are 3 tiers, and it's basically our our goal is that price is not a barrier to what seat you want in the theater. So folks who want to come and see the show, who are, and the audience is the fourth character. They're an integral part of this particular show. They're involved. They're invited to dialogue with us. You go to the website or you phone the theater. You choose the seat that you want. And then that seat has three different ticket prices. So one is, you know, a lower ticket price, a mid price, and a higher price. And the folks that are able to provide, you know, pay for the highest price, they make it possible for us to provide the lower price tickets for folks for whom that's their limit for what they can afford. One of the barriers of theater is that it's so expensive to produce. Ticket sales don't even pay for half of producing the show. And yet, you know, ticket sales can be a barrier and the cost can be a barrier. So this is something we've explored over the past few events that we've done. And the amazing thing is that our average ticket price by providing this equitable ticketing is exactly the same. And so why not give people the choice of what seat you want so that there's no privilege around the best seat you pay the most money if you can afford it? So you can have the best seat for the one of the three prices that you want. And honestly, every seat in the Unicorn Theater is a great seat. And, you know, you get to become Kate Baldwin's best friend. So why would you not want to come see the show? And then, yes, Berkshire Theater Group and WHAM are going to be making a donation from this production to the Elizabeth Freeman Center that everyone knows. It's here in the Berkshires, and it provides 24/7 support for folks who are experiencing intimate violence, sexual and domestic abuse. And it is, particularly through the pandemic, it has become even more integral to our community to support everything the Elizabeth Freeman Center is doing. And if you come to the play, the character of Heidi shares some statistics that are from prior to the pandemic, which are already, to use the word she says, staggering. And so we're also collecting items. So if you go to the websites and you see about the show, you can see that we're also collecting items that will be given to the Elizabeth Freeman Center that they need, because often families just show up with nothing. And they require everything, toothpaste, sheets, shampoo, soap. So please, if you want to bring something with you when you come to the theater, and add that to your civic act of choosing to join us at the theater, along with being entertained. It's very funny. You know, that's one thing you can find out by calling the theaters or going to the website.
I can't thank you both enough for letting me hang out with you in the Unicorn today and for all of the beautiful work you keep contributing to this world. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Always lovely to see you. And thank you for coming to us.
Thank you, Sarah.
WHAM Theater and Berkshire Theater Group present Heidi Schreck's What the Constitution Means to Me on the Larry Weber stage at the Berkshire Theater Group's Unicorn Theater in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, Thursdays through Sundays, May 18th, that's tomorrow, through June 3rd. The production is directed by Kristen Vangenhoven and stars Kate Baldwin. For showtime and ticket information, visit whamtheater.com or berkshiretheatergroup.org. Those links will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.